You're listening to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson. And as always, thanks for tuning in. We are in the dining room of the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island during the Detroit Regional Chamber's annual Mackinac Policy Conference, back live at the end of May after several years of disruption because of COVID. All of the prominent politicians and business leaders and philanthropic leaders from Southeast Michigan in particular are here talking about the state's and the city's problems, talking about our national problems, talking with each other in a way that they don't often get to do in other circumstances. We are talking today with the politicians, many of the politicians who are here doing their work on the island this week. And joining us now is a familiar voice to Detroit Today and, of course, to Detroiters of all stripe. Debbie Dingell is a U.S. Congresswoman from the 12th District, which covers much of Washtenaw County, plus Dearborn, and is currently running in Michigan's newly drawn 6th Congressional District. Debbie, welcome back to Mackinac and welcome back to Detroit Today.
Stephen, it is great to be with you. And yes, I think it's good to be in Mackinac.
You think it is? I want to just put this out there. This is your first trip back since John, your husband, died. And I'm not sure all of our listeners know, this was a big part of your lives, the time that you guys spent up here. Just talk about how you're processing all of that.
So I'm still, I miss him. Miss him every day.
I do too.
And he was, you know, he would sit on, during this conference, on the porch in a rocking chair, and it was his office, and he talked to everybody. And he loved talking to everybody. And, you know, we've been coming here for a long time.
A very long time.
I was young, very young when I started. But it was also where we came in August. It was our escape place. So it's different. You know, I'm not sure I'll spend the kind of time I used to spend here because it was my place with John.
Yeah.
But I've seen lots of friends. I'm not sure we're not at a super spreader event, so I think I'm the only one wearing her mask.
Let's hope not. There was a lot of protocols in place to make sure
that
people...
Yeah, but nobody's keep giving space or distance. So. But it's good to be here, to be with people that we physically have really not been with for a couple of years. Relationships matter. Mm-hmm. People don't have them. You can't work together, make a difference, get partnerships, talk about ideas unless you know people, know you can trust them. And it's good to see that part back.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk quickly about guns. You did come onto the show last week to talk about what happened at Uvalde. We've had a week of, I think, some real, at least signaling of possible action. There's a package of bills that is prepared to go through the House this week or next, I believe. Talk about what's in those bills and whether they have a chance once they get to the Senate.
So the House Judiciary Committee will be meeting tomorrow. It is still not clear whether the package of bills that is going to move will be a package or individual bills. I'm going to be very blunt in a second, but among those the House will pass will be a red flag law, gun container, you know, safe storage, raising the age for selling of assault weapons, hopefully some mental health investment, a number of, and it'll pass the House. Whatever comes out of judiciary should pass the House. But what's the significant discussions is happening on the Senate side, where there are a number of Republican and Democratic senators speaking and trying to find if there is some common ground. People who have been strong gun advocates for years are saying, let's not make the perfect the enemy of the good. Mm-hmm. I think there are people that are willing to give on both sides. I've talked to a number of senators on both sides. And I am hopeful that something may actually come from those conversations.
Yeah. The idea that we will need 10 Republicans in the Senate to join what will likely be all 50 Democrats to get this done, it's one of those things that comes up again and again and again with President Biden's agenda on a number of fronts. Here, it seems unimaginable, I guess, that 10 senators could stop legislation that if you took a poll tomorrow, I think 70% or more of Americans would support. These are very common sense measures that are not in debate in America. They are only in debate in the Senate. Does that make any sense?
I'm not going to say that it makes any sense. I found myself going back and reading the Federalist Papers and reading a lot about what our forefathers did when they founded the Constitution and the tyranny of the majority, the rule of minority. It's very... I do think I want to have hope right now. So one of the key negotiators is actually Senator John Cornyn from Texas. I'm almost certain he's a member of the NRA.
Sure.
I went over with Fred Upton and talked to John Cornyn after the Parkland shooting when Fred and I were trying to get red flag legislation. I think he is honestly trying to get something done. The people of his state are brokenhearted. I've had a lot of very intense discussions with many of my colleagues on this subject, and I have said to some of my colleagues who are right, they're very emotional, they're very angry, don't drive people back into their corners. If we take this on, and even one of my more moderate Democratic colleagues said, I'm a progressive on this, and I said, lose the labels. We're Americans. It's American children that are dying in schools. But it's not only, it takes these mass shootings in Buffalo and in Texas and Parkland, when is enough enough? But it's happening every day, Stephen. If you look at the numbers in Chicago, the numbers in Detroit are going up. The families, the domestic abuse, nobody, by the way, my bill on domestic abuse isn't on anybody's radar because it's too drastic. I don't know why, if someone's been convicted of a felony, they shouldn't have access to a gun, I'll flag it in a meeting, but I've said to Nancy, that's not going to keep me from not saying we shouldn't be moving the rest of this forward.
Yeah.
But I think we need to think about, it's a uniquely American problem, and we need to not go to our corners.
Yeah.
And we need to keep people from going to the corners that they always go to, because we do have a system of government that does protect the minority.
Yes.
And
it does. And the instincts were to protect against tyrannical majorities,
correct,
right? That's why they set aside certain kinds of mechanisms for unpopular minorities to take advantage of. I have a hard time thinking, though, that they could have envisioned the kind of tyrannical minority that we seemed to be dealing with in terms of the Republican Party on a lot of issues, right? They don't represent the majority in numbers or from the standpoint of point of view. And so, the frustration I think that people feel is...
We need to be careful. I agree with you, and I don't know that they saw that there would be this. But let's not just say far right. There are tyrannical minorities.
Yes.
In different issues. I don't even know how to say it because I don't want to put a label on anybody.
Sure.
I don't know that they envisioned what we see in this country today. But we got to find a way to pull ourselves together or this fear and hatred and division is going to be the end of the country as we know it.
Yeah. I want to talk about inflation and price gouging. Those things are on your mind a lot as well. What can Congress be doing?
Congress is looking at a number of things. We're trying to ensure, we've passed legislation in the House that would address price gouging on fuel prices. We're trying to, probably one of the biggest factors contributing to inflation has been the supply chain and the supply chain shortages. I hope we're going to get this supply, the CHIPS bill, as I call it, but the competitiveness bill passed by the 4th of July. We'll see. We should have passed it a year ago. CHIPS is something that semiconductor chips impacts our area greatly, and we need to bring that capacity back to this country. But we are trying to address many of the supply issues, which in the short term should start to see in the cost of goods going down. And by the way, you did see in this month's report some very early indications that some prices may be going down. But we got to address the economy in a very wholesale way. And I think the president, I have a meeting at 4 o'clock today with the White House talking on things we're going to try to do next week. So we need to take it seriously. Quite frankly, guns are awful and we need to be doing that. But the number one issue on people's minds is what is happening to them when they go to the grocery store and when they drive their car.
How is the campaign going in the new district? It hasn't really started off that much yet, but it is a different place to try to represent. You represented a large part of the district already, but talk about the switch.
I represent about 60% of it, and I'm trying very hard for the people in the new district. The hardest part's moving.
I'm hopeful
that I will, you know, I bought a kind of in January, and it needed a lot of work, like everybody who's, but I'm hoping to be completely moved by July. Moved a lot of things this weekend, thanks to friends. In between events, I would load the car and take it over. But I'm really working very hard for the people of the new district, the rest of Washtenaw County, and Plymouth Township, Novi Township, Canton, and Novi. They've all been incredibly nice. They're nice. It's really been, and trying to go to as many things as I can do meet and greets, met with all the mayors, go to city council meetings, go to the rotaries, the chambers, the town halls they have. Like Dexter has one every other Saturday, and I need people to get to know me, know who I am, and be accessible. It's farmer market time, so trying to figure out how I can do my always Ann Arbor Farmer Market and get to all the rest. So I'm out and about having people get to know me.
Civility is another issue that you have emphasized an awful lot. You had a partner in Congress from the state of Michigan, Fred Upton, who is a Republican, and you have spent a lot of time talking about how you disagree on a lot of things, but that you've good working relationship, and that when you do disagree, you can do it without antipathy or shouting or a lot of these things that we see. It's a theme up here as well at Mackinac. When you lose Fred from Congress, if you're reelected in the fall, talk about how that changes the way that you go about that issue. And I guess, is there another likely partner that you might find?
So, look, I'm going to miss Fred. He's done a lot of good for the state of Michigan, and Michigan's going to miss Fred. I want to start with that. And, you know, he really has been my friend, and we've worked on many things, and we're people that have brought people together. And he's still my partner. He hasn't left yet. But, you know, I have many other friends on the Republican side. One of my good friends that I've worked with for a long time, people don't know I'm on both the Jerry Ford Library Board and the Gerald Ford School Library Board in a bipartisan way. Hank Myers is on both of those boards with me, and Peter Meyer is a member from Grand Rapids. And he's a good friend, and I've made it very clear to everybody that his father has been my friend, and I've known Peter for a long time. Yeah. And he and I do things together. It'll be different. No relationship is the same. And I, you know, I mean, I'm going to make Republicans nuts that are listening on this, but I think Liz Cheney's one of the most, I've known her since she was a little girl, not a little girl, high school, but young. And we're working on many bills together. And I got her on the Jerry Ford Library Board last year. And I have a lot of other Republican friends. I spend time on the Republican side, not just because Fred's leaving. I've done that since the day I walked in the House. John Dingell had a lot of friends that were Republicans. His ranking Republican members, Jim Broyhill, used to say, everybody used to think my name was Dingell Broyhill. And I think it's very important we work with each other, listen to each other. Look, I have friends in the Freedom Caucus. There are a couple people that I probably would not be able to. It makes me sad to say that to you, but they're not interested in listening. But sure. I have others that I talk to regularly. You know, Louie Gohmert, who people when John died, went everywhere with me. He was came right to the cemetery and had gone to the cemetery to visit John's grave. And, you know, we're all different. We all have our foibles, and but we got to get to know each other. And if you know each other, you can build trust.
And there's this idea that John always fronted and that you have always fronted about decency.
Correct.
And not just treating other people decently, but just generally, that the expectation of decency.
Every person isn't.
Some people think that's corny, but
it's not corny. It's what
it's
we should
important.
Do. We need to. None of us don't think that, but it's the reality. And we all deserve and are worthy of respect and being treated with dignity and being listened to. And we each have different life experiences, perspectives that we can share and help others learn from. And together, we're strong.
Yeah. Okay, Debbie Dingell, it is always great to have you here on the program. It is really great to see you up here on Mackinac Island in person. Do you have any goals this week?
It's just going to be good to renew relationships and meet some of the new people that have come on the scene during the pandemic.
Yeah, that's right. A lot has happened while we were away.
Correct.
Okay, well, thanks for being here with us.
Thank you.
All right, that is going to do it for us today. Come back tomorrow when we are going to talk with Detroit Chamber CEO Sandy Barua. We'll talk with Congresswoman Brenda Lawrence and Lejeune Montgomery Tabor, who is the CEO of the Kellogg Foundation. Detroit Today is produced by Sam Corey, Nick Austin, and Lisa John Rogers. Our program director is Joan Isabella. The technical director and engineer is Matthew Trevethan. And Detroit Today's music is created by Sam Bobian and Will Sessions. We'll be back tomorrow in the dining room of the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island. Until then, have a great day.